Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Network, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live and in color on the first day at Kwanzaa. We got a good show for you today. It's beyond the village, beyond Christmas. You don't want to miss it. Hang on. Come on with me. Better love. That's what we talk about. Love yourself and community. There is no better love than for self and kind. You hear me, people? There is no better love. Welcome to the Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. And it's the first day of Kwanzaa, which we're celebrating. You know that's what we do at the NAAEA, because Kwanzaa is an African-American holiday, and it is a tradition. And it will be here as a part of the NAAEA cultural tradition as long as the earth is round. How about that? All right, here we go. How about the NAAEA? The National African American Empowerment Association is an organization organized just for you, African Americans, right? We got to do something. Why we can't have our own organization by the people, for the people, that focuses in these five critical areas, politics, that's right. You asking, Marv, why we got to have a political agenda? Why we just can't live our lives? Because we got to have programs that support and develop our people in our community are properly funded. That's right. And how you do that? Through an economic agenda. You have to have an economic program that helps your people survive and subsist in this world. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about doing the things that's going to help us live and thrive and survive in this culture and in this society, and even around the world. Right? So we're not excluding anybody. We're growing and we're changing the world one day and one person at a time. And then we're talking about athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. I know y'all ate a whole lot over Thanksgiving. I know y'all ate a whole lot over the holiday yesterday. Many of y'all, not everybody. But guess what? You got to have a wellness program. Let's get off these medications. Let's go out, exercise, get a good program of healthy eating. That's right. The NAAEA is taking care of your body and your mind. Because guess what? You got to take care of your mind to protect yourself from these diseased mental states that are out here. And then cultural, a consistent, enriching cultural program that develops the mind of our youth. The minds of our youth are so important, and we have to do the work of working on that. We can't leave that to nobody else. And that brings us to education, a comprehensive education that does something for our people mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, culturally, where we begin to return to our rightful position. And that's our theme, returning to our rightful original position. And today, it's the village beyond Christmas. Let me bring in my co-host and brother Stan Macklin. Brother Stan, are you there?
Hey, my brother. He's here for another wonderful Saturday. Let's have a wonderful time, man. Hey, man.
We're doing it.
It's been a wonderful season. Got a lot to be thankful for and looking forward to 2021.
Got that right. You got that right. All right. Thank you, Stan. And again, as always, man, we're moving right through this year where we have, man, this is so powerful today because, you know, this is the first day of Kwanzaa and I'm really excited. And just not for, you know, it's us, man. This is all about us. All about us. So I'm going to go down now to Brother George and see if he can bring in our Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment for today. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Trying to enjoy the holiday season, and I'm doing fine, brother.
All right. Well, it's on you. Take it away.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to read from Naeem Akbar's book, Change the Images of Psychological Slavery today, and I think it's very significant with Willie Lynch because it's done so much that Willie Lynch system, I'm going to call it, has done so much to pulled our people back over the last 200 years or so. And, you know, I'm going to read a piece that I think is very relevant to that. The long generations of being conditioned to reject natural and strong leadership had not only stifled the development of such leaders, but African Americans still in respond by rejecting such leaders. Even outstanding leaders such as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were rejected and denied support by the African American educated and professional classes of people in many major cities. He was condemned in the early days of the Civil Rights Movement campaign as a troublemaker. Only after receiving recognition from an increasing number of liberal Caucasians was he accepted as a leader. Powerful leaders who emerged from the ranks of the uneducated, such as Elijah Muhammad, never received wide acceptance, despite the fact that he offered the most powerful economic and self-help program of the time. Contemporary Negro history accounts devote extensive coverage to Muhammad's trainees, such as Malcolm Shabazz or Malcolm X, while mentioning the natural head only as passing. We still suffer from that same thing, I believe, today, that you have many who don't accept our leadership, who are actually giving us the solutions to the problems that we have. But if they don't say them in such a way that includes everybody or is going to do something for everybody, instead of focusing on how we can do things to help ourselves first and then we can help the rest of the world. But until you can help yourself, you really can't do anything. And so a lot of our educated blacks that have taken the time to get a good quality education, I think it's not so much that they think that these people are wrong. I think that they feel like they're going to lose something if they support their own people's efforts. But what I say to that is that if you focus on creating your own economy within the system the same way every other group of people do, you'll find that you're not risking anything because you hold the stake to your own employment. You know, you're your own boss. So you don't have to worry about answering to somebody else and say, oh, so you support Jeremiah Wright or you support Louis Farrakhan, so you know, I'm going to fire you. You know, this, that, and the other. And it's like, you know, these people are saying things that's beneficial to our people in China and have given their lives, you know, to support us, like people like Marcus Garvey. You know, so I say all that, you know, in honor of what, you know, Naeem Marquardt wrote that book, you know, Changing Images of Psychological Slavery, in the interest of Willie Lynch. And I know that's why he wrote, because he was trying to still give us explanations. But that's my Willie Lynch segment for today. I will open up the Kwanzaa, the Ngunza South, first day of Kwanzaa, a Baragani, brothers and sisters. Today,
Umoja, brothers.
By Umoja. I heard you in the background, brother. Umoja, which is unity. To strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. And so what I spoke about previously falls right in line with that. We got to start unifying amongst ourselves to get certain things done, to get our people out of poverty, to create, you know, angles where other people are not benefiting so much from our talents. We're the job creators in this country. And the thing that I do respect about the hip-hop era was they figured that out and they started creating their own industries, or they started creating in such a way that they could benefit equally as much from their own talents as someone else. That would be either managing them or producing them, etc. You know, so I say today is Unity Day, and use that time to, you know, process what you could do to unify with our people. Once again, a bargain.
Thank you, Brother George. Man, he brings it and delivers it so well. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Brother George. And again, happy Kwanzaa. He is a key to unity in the community, because that brother's been working for, I know, over 30 years to make change in our community. So thank you again, Brother George. Stan.
Yes, my brother.
Brother, let's talk about the village today, right? We just celebrated Christmas, and, you know, it's a season of giving, right? And it's a time where we, you know, kind of came together in fellowship and community. And then Christmas is over, right? But we have to continue this village concept beyond Christmas, where we continue to love each other, continue to support each other, continue to give. And, you know, I won't go too deep into it, but there was the network came and poured in to support a family here in Richmond that gave them a beautiful Christmas. And that village poured together to give them what they needed. And so I wanted to talk about the village beyond Christmas, because we do a lot of giving during that period of time. How can we continue this theme? What is the village itself, right, that concept of the village? Have we really lost it, and how can we capture that to improve our communities more and more each day as we go into 2021?
Well, the first thing, Brother Ron, we have to understand is that the village is a way of life. It is life. All life is birthed there, and termination of life ends there. Now, we'll take it even a little further.
Go deep, brother.
You know, you and I, we lived actually in the village. Remember that?
Talk
we
to
actually,
me, brother.
I'll take
you know
you back. We actually lived in the village. I mean, the primitive village. We were in
got that right.
In a Kwame Crusoe, in a primitive AIC, an African Independent Church village there. I mean, it was in the raw, and we were there. Now, the thing about that is, when I said it's a way of life, the total village sustained the community. They had the structure there. They had the security there. We've seen that enforced. They had the food system. The main thing I think that was outstanding in the village was worship. I mean, they had a core group that they were worshiping. I mean, late in the wee hours of the night. You woke me up to go see it. And it's a self-sustaining community. And that's what we've gotten away from. See, even though we were enslaved, we have left the concept of the village in the motherland. Okay? Now, there was a semblance of it in the early South. Okay? But when the Industrial Revolution started, we left the South and migrated to the North, to places like the Motor City and the Windy City, okay, for those big economic jobs and all that like that. But was nothing but a separation tactic, because when one person did come up, they helped the other one to get up. And we got away from that. And so we must return back to the whole concept of the village, because we've seen it. It really does work. And that's the reason why the motherland is the land it is today, because even though they have structure, and I mean they have commercial structure and skyscrapers and all that, it all filters right down to the local village. It's very important.
True.
You know, some people call it tribalism, but, you know, what tribe you're from. I'm a part of the tribe of humanity, okay? And I haven't seen any aliens yet from other planets. I'm sure they're out there, but I am into humanity. And we have to realize that there's nothing more precious on this earth than a human being. And if we can just work together to sustain our ethnicity, then we can perpetuate ourselves and lay a foundation that can do wonders. But we've gotten away. We want to be like everybody else. And that's our problem. That's a problem. We got to cut that out. We talk about the Jewish community, how they turn their resources around. It goes around there nine times before it even goes out to community.
Mm-hmm.
How long does our resource stay in our community? Overnight. In the morning, it's gone. It's gone. It may not even make overnight. And see, you know, we got to get past that. We got to. We have to. We have to return back one, square one, because it does work. It does work. You seen it, my brother? Let me ask you a question. Did you starve when you were in the village?
No, man. They fed us real good.
You fed us real good?
Nobody was starving. You got that right.
I mean, we ate good.
A smorgasbord.
And you wasn't eating no monkeys either, was you?
Right, no. No, it was a plenty, as my people say, a plenty.
There you go. There you go. So I'm just saying that you've seen it with your own eye. You saw it firsthand. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why you saw that. I mean, and if you want to even take about, they even had, in a primitive way, modern technology hooked up.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
You were able to watch TV.
In a village,
hooked up.
Yeah, with no electricity.
To two batteries.
African ingenuity. Yeah, that's right.
There you go. So we're brilliant people. We've seen it. This is nothing that we're a figment of our imagination, brother. I took you right there.
You did.
And it was real.
Profile. All right, so today is the first day of Kwanzaa, right? Umoja, unity, to strive and maintain unity in the family and community. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to play my clip, and then we're going to the lines to in his book today. All right, here's my clip.
I actually believe in the power of a community. It's like how they say, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, so we, being able to have that, influence around you, being able to have people who are encouraging you, who are pushing you towards something better, not just in your household, but in your community, can make a huge difference. I think we put so much pressure on parents to be like, well, it all starts at home. Yeah, it starts at home, but we have to realize people are exposed to the outside world more so than they're even exposed to the influence at home sometimes. And so if we can create a more positive environment, a more progressive environment, a progressive community, it would make a huge difference for people. And I know it would have made an even bigger impact on my life as well. On my corner, in my corner.
There it is. All right, let's go to the line. Yes. Stan, it's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. I'm going to 0946. You're at the top of the deck. Hello, good afternoon, happy Kwanzaa, and happy holidays. 0946, are you there?
Go ahead, caller.
All right, let's see you. 4692, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Hey, I am well. How are you, sister?
And happy, I am well. Living and walking in unity with my family. And my family includes those I share blood with and those that I just share the King of all creations with. So I'm excited today. I'm excited about going into Kwanzaa. I'm excited by the fact that I know that next year this time, we're going to see Kwanzaa celebrations all across this country on television,
got
online.
That right.
It's going to be bigger. You know why it's important? It's not just a time to gather together and think about how Kwanzaa came about. It's an opportunity for us to get together and fellowship and celebrate who we are. We're all at home now. We saw what being at home doing a COVID-restricted thing did for some of the movement, social justice, et cetera. But this one should be about unity more than anything else. And so I believe it gives us an umbrella for us to focus on the things that make us unique and that make us the most creative, innovative body of people, not at the expense of any of our other brothers and sisters of a different hue, but there is something unique about the American black that I think that we need to embrace and we need to celebrate. We don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to hide behind.
We don't need
to make excuses for. We are loud, colorful people who love each other, and that's what I feel that this particular time of the year gives us an opportunity to shout about. So that's what I'm excited about, and I'm looking forward to what other people are going to bring to the table today in this nice, radio broadcast.
I appreciate that, sister. All right, Stan, what you got? I like that. I'm coming back to you, sister.
Man.
I'm going to make
She's
the loop
right
and come
it,
on
man.
Back.
She's right on it. She's got it. She's got it, man. She's got it. That's what it is all about.
Wow. You got me fired up over here.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to celebrate ourselves. And guess what? That's what the Empowerment Network is all about. 365 days of celebrating us. It's not excluding anybody, but we're going to magnify ourselves and lift our brilliant people up back to the place, our rightful standing on this earth. All right, I'm going down to 8128. It's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rona, Stan Macklin, if you're talking, we're listening.
Go ahead, caller.
All right. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, brother.
Doing good.
How you doing? How y'all doing?
Happy Kwanzaa.
Good. Listen.
We excited over here.
I'm down here visiting with family in North Carolina, but, it's something that, you see, when family gets together for these holidays, realize that this is a situation that was set up more for monetary than it was for family. But us being a family-oriented people, we always turn it into this more. Right.
Yes.
We just need to get the right concept about family getting together because, everything that's going on out here is the body. To make us have to. We'll have family, but we don't have community.
Got that
and
right.
That's the thing that we need to be able to reestablish is the community. And they're doing everything that they can to make that not happen by breaking up our community, making us live in scattered, varying places and have to travel for many hours to get to each other. Right, and not realize that we need to remedy that kind of situation. That's the first thing. We have to start working as a community. Instead of just looking at the family concept as something that is only supposed to be looked at on a holiday or varied basis where only when different situations occur do we need to come together. That should be a natural process of us within our community.
I like that. That's the process.
So we definitely have to get past that, and then enlarge the family concept back to its original state. Because we were always community. That's how we got to where we are, as a matter of fact, before they intervened and started scattering our little town.
That's right. Devaluing our properties. And, you know, not giving us insurance and redlining our areas. I mean, all of that stuff is based on them breaking up our community.
Okay.
Yep. So,
but we're still here. We're still here.
Absolutely. Right. But by us realizing, you know, what the conspiracy was, like, we can start to eliminate the problem and talking seriously about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, brother. I'm going to make the rounds, and I'll be back to you in just a few.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, my
Shedan.
Brother.
Man, these people on fire today. The family down there in North Carolina is sitting down around there listening to the Empowerment Network.
Family time. It's family time.
All right. I'm sliding on down to 4756. You're next on the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. Welcome to the show.
Yo, I'd like to see Habari Ghani. And listening. Great. Brother Warren, I participated earlier today in one of the blog talk radio programs called Zambia Talk Radio, brothers from Zambia. And they were fascinated when they were asking me what I did for Christmas. And I talked about the dish we eat here in Louisiana called gumbo. And they were fascinated with my description of gumbo and that it's an African dish that we still prepare among many other African-derived dishes in Louisiana that we prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the people from the low coast of Georgia and South Carolina prepare many African-derived dishes. But it's important that for the new year, we really immerse ourselves in the development of what we call African-American culture in terms of cuisine, in historical experience, because we do a poor job of describing and discussing our experience and culture with other people who are not from here. We do a very poor job. And this image, this concept of urban, where it's this kind of hip-hop and black movies with Tyler Perry as representing some black culture, is a complete embarrassment, and it is unfair, and it is a distortion. And we need to lovingly challenge that image that our children have grown up with, that black culture is about black people wearing, black men wearing dresses, and we even stereotype the African-American church. We do a poor job of that. We have black people coming here to live and to work who want to learn about the black community in the United States, but we do a poor job. We keep talking about our experience and what we've gone through, but we can't articulate it. We don't have information. We don't have knowledge. We need to get back to reading books if you don't know. And we need to go read books written by African-American historians. But giving our opinion with no factual backup to it, we have to frown upon that. So when I talked to them about gumbo, I was able to share with them the technique on how you make gumbo, why gumbo is important, who eats the real gumbo in Louisiana, who houses you go to. You go to black people houses, okay, and the connection to Africa and so on and so forth. And so for the new year, let's embrace our history. Let's study our experience. Let's seek out books published by African and African-American authors on the African and African-American experience and culture. The culinary traditions of black people in the Americas is a big topic that's been published about different kind of foods we eat. Black-eyed peas, rice, the rice culture, watermelon, the taste for greens, bitter leaf greens like mustard and collard, and their connection to Africa. So we have to get into that for the new year. Knowledge is power. And a leader is a person with knowledge. We have to respect knowledge and stop letting YouTube and these YouTube channels out here and these Twitters educating us with people's opinions.
You got that right.
Warren, you got that right. I'm going to tell you, you just got an amen on my text just now. So you saying something that people are liking out there. Thank you, Brother Warren. I'm going to wrap around and see if it, hang
Thank
around.
You.
so I can come back to you. All right, I'm sliding on down to 9282. Thank you, Brother Warren. Hey, Stan, man.
Yeah.
Warren laid it down. We got it. I mean, it's time for us to really stop pretending. Right, you know, back in the Westerns, they used to have, when they made the movies, it'll just be a front. And all, it looked like a city, but it's not. It looked like a town, but it's not. It's just a front.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to start having some substance to our front. Well, we got a front room and a back room and a backyard. And we got a whole lot of stuff going on. So we got to stop playing. And that's why the NAAEA is so important in collaborating with brothers like Warren to be able to spread the word about what we're doing the right way. Right, but what I'm not gonna do though is we just gotta bring brothers and sisters along, right? We gotta educate, and that's why education is so important. Sometimes we have to operate out of survival, sometimes we operate out of ignorance, but we educating right here at the NAAEA. You got anything before
I
slide down to 9282?
You got the culture.
I heard
you
that.
Got the culture. It's real.
All right, 9282. It's the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. You're alive.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters.
Hey, assalamu alaikum, my brother.
And for those who don't understand what I just said, assalamu alaikum, may peace be unto you.
That's right.
All the words that Jesus spoke when he entered the room and left, it was assalamu alaikum, may peace be unto you.
All right.
And I just want to say today, my brother, you talked about the illusion of the town. You know, it looks like a town, but it ain't a town. You know, just a front. The whole Christmas celebration is a front, okay? For example, most people who are out there giving things to people nowadays, trying to help poor people, Salvation Army, we feeding people, we giving you a plate. Most of them, they do those things for themselves, not for the people they're giving anything to.
Mm.
I mean, you give me a meal on Christmas Day, where are you going to be the rest of the year, and how am I going to eat the rest of the year? But yet you're going to publicize that you gave me a big turkey and you gave me this meal and we came in and we helped you. You did nothing for me. You won't be able to say what you did, not help me. That's the old cliche they say. Remember what they used to say? Give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach him how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. That's why moving forward after Christmas, as you so adequately entitled it, what happens to the village, I'm now taking a serious look at myself. What am I going to do? Oh, we great philosophers. We can talk. We have great conversations. But looking at me, what am I going to do moving forward? Well, one of the things I'm going to be working on in the new year with another group that I'm associated with called the Black Coalition of Change, we're going to try to establish what we call academic enrichment centers throughout the public housing communities in Richmond. To where we take children 2 years old to 5 years old, and we start prepping them for school. And hopefully by the time they reach 5 years old, our first group, we can have schools for them to go into. Teach them to fish. Teach them to do those things. Prep them educational-wise. Get them ready. And I will admit, I was one of those people. I used to loan people money, and I'd go around and say, oh, I had to give them $20. I had to give them $30. And a good friend of mine in San Diego told me, he said, look, if you're going to do something for somebody, do it because you want to help them, not because you're trying to boast yourself. Don't be telling everybody how I had to give them money. That's what we do. We do the things for us, not to help the people. I saw an advertisement this week where they're trying to raise money for dogs. Nice commercial. Christmas music in the background. You need to donate. And if you do within the next 10 minutes, we're going to send you a T-shirt for the wild dogs. And they show you the pictures of the dogs suffering in the cold and everything. I'm going, dogs? You know, who's supposed to be able to live outside in the wild? They just have been domesticated. You know, but you mean dogs? No, we need to prep our people.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's the village, you know, the village concept of helping education. That's the key thing, as the brother said. The knowledge, we have to uplift our people and educate our people and prepare our people moving forward. And not for us, not so we can get glorification out of it, like, look what I'm doing. No, it's because it's what I'm supposed to do. It's because what we're supposed to do. If I'm an elder, I'm supposed to help the younger. I mean, it's my job. That's how we move forward, passing it along, uplifting each other.
That's
not about boosting myself, patting myself on the back, look what I've done and look what I got. Look, it's not about
that. Do what you have to do.
You do what you have to do. That's what we're supposed to do. It's about us, not about me. And we got to get away from that. Moving forward, and I'm going to be reaching out to y'all, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you. You know, I'm going to find out who's going to help and who's not going to help. Because we need to know. You know, I may be the only one doing it, but I need to know that.
Oh, no, you're not by yourself. We practice in unity. We practice in Ubojah.
Yes, sir.
365 days of the year. This Kwanzaa won't just be for this 7 days. This is going to be 365.
Year round. Yeah. We shouldn't have to wait for a certain holiday to gather as a family.
Uh-huh.
We should be gathering as family every day. You know, the old boy Western singer, Willie Nelson. Remember, Willie Nelson had a song. He said, "You always on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You always on my mind." That's
Come on,
what
Willie.
We need. You always
that's
on
right.
my mind. Family.
I like that.
Village. Unity. All right, my brothers.
Leave you with that. I'm coming back to you. Wrap around. We're talking about unity today, right? It's the first day of Kwanzaa. And so we have to practice. How are we going to practice Umoja or unity in our village, in our families, in our community? It's a very, very positive proposition. How are we going to do that? Let me slide on down. Let me see who is in the network today. I'm going back to 0946. 0946, are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm here. My phone was muted when you got to me before, but happy Kwanzaa to everybody, and I know that we're talking about unity. And I'm asking a question in case someone has a way to direct me to some information regarding this concept around the village. And one of the things that I do know is that you can have something going on and it's going on well, but if you don't have the power to defend it, then it is always susceptible to be overthrown by conquer and divide. Even if you have a method by which to solve conflict. So I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. If there was a woman that was getting ready to be raped, we know from a moral perspective that that should not happen. So if there was a man or a woman that was available, who would, even though we have the morality that it's wrong, we would need some type of power to be able to say, okay, we're going to stop this person from doing that. So my question becomes is that what I understand about white supremacy is that it has an ideology and a methodology about power that non-white black people have not been able to duplicate on the same mass scale that they've been able to do. So I think that part of, I think, what is the attraction to what Farrakhan talks about is Farrakhan is always making people aware of what you're actually dealing with. You got to understand what you are up against and what you are dealing with. And as black people, the original people, we seem to have a conscience that does not seem to exist in those that have the powers that be. So we come with this consciousness that we're going to have unity, we're going to get along, there's enough food for everybody, but then the powers be say, okay, I'm going to stop your food supply because, yeah, that's nice that you're doing, but I'm going to dominate you now and make you do what I want you to do because I'm going to control your water supply. I'm going to control your food. I'm going to control your resources. I'm going to control anything. So my question is from thinking about it from anthropology is how do we defend our villages? Because we can have all this nice stuff going on, but we don't have a power source that says, okay, we don't believe in this nonsense that you're talking about. We don't believe in this conquer and divide, but we don't possess the power to stop the conquer and divide. You know, kind of what happens between the Hutus and the and the tutus and the zutus. I mean, there was a lot of Belgium and German influence that was in there because one group was being treated differently than the other group, and that started a lot of jealousy and contempt. So my question is, when we get our villages together, when we do this thing that we're supposed to do, how do we defend our villages? So that's my question that I'm asking somewhat. Beyond morality, but with some type of power.
Okay.
Let me take a stab.
Thank you, sister.
Let me take a stab at it. Looking at it from the indigenous concept of the village, the main ingredient is self-governance because it's so many people. It's mass. And you have to have self-governance, self-discipline to govern oneself, okay? Now, of course, there's going to be some people who violate the self-governance principle, and they have to be, you might say, have checks and balances. Now, this was primitive, but this is what I actually saw. You saw it too, Brother Long. They had a brother. He was kind of out of his mind, but beside his place of self-governance. And they literally had him. He was chained up to a tree until two things. He came back into his right mind and called on God. And I tell you, when I first saw it, I thought it was the most cruelest criminal thing I ever saw. Until the next day, he was calling out on God. Yes, he was. Okay.
Right. All he had was a blanket, and they bring him food.
That's
you
right.
Understand? The woman said,
"Yes,
everybody's been on the tree."
Yes, that's right.
Like what?
And so it goes back to the thing of self-governance. We got caught up in individuality. See, that got us separated. We start separating ourselves. We start looking for attractions and detractions outside of our family structure. And it took us away from our base. And you see, so we got to get back to self-governance. And when you have a law within your own self, that's better than he that knows how to rule the city. You see? It's just so important. So important. Because it really works. Especially when you're walking down the streets with all them throngs of thousands of people. All it takes is somebody to cry out thief, and they all kick in the gear. It's like flags go out. That and thief means thief, which is a way of self. The masses of the people, they put the person in check. I've seen it many times. And in some places, they go extreme with it. In some places, they go so extreme about it, they'll even put a tie around your neck, depending on the nature of the crime you've done, set it afire. Now, you know, it might sound harsh, but, you know, the law is for the lawless. You cannot have any, you have a society where there's no law, no self-governance. What do you got? Chaos.
That's right. All right, I'm going to slide on over to Brother George and get his take on that. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes, sir. What do you think about the question, Sister Han?
Well, what I say to that question is that we've been willy-nilly successfully divided us along a line that has severe ramifications when this happens. We've been divided along sexual lines. The black male and the black female, we have been divided. And that's why I keep, you know, calling out for forgiveness and do whatever's necessary to bring ourselves back together, because in our traditional roles, the male defended the female. And so,
that's right.
You know,
that's
nowadays
right.
You have many females that say, I don't need you, you know. And so I don't blame any side for this happening, because it was the slave making experience that turned us into this. And we have to get back to some basic rules to reestablish how we're going to defend anything, you know, because thinking about picking up arms and all of that, you know, I mean, if it comes to that and that's absolutely necessary, then you do what's necessary to preserve life. But I think that long before anything like that happens, people are ultimately controlled by the ideal of self and kind, really. It starts there, because it starts in your household where you live. And so
you
if
got
you
that
are
right.
African American, then the ideals and the accomplishments and the principles and beliefs of your people pretty much are probably going to be yours. And so until we resolve the issue that, you know, the black male and the black female work our way back together, that's the, you know, the number one thing I think we should be focused on nowadays, is trying to create as positive an image between us as we possibly can. And I've heard the sister speak in a positive way about the black male, but we have to extend these things into our communities. And, you know, all of us have to start there. It has to start young, you know, because of so many broken homes, you know. And when you leave a person, they become bitter, you know, for good reason. You know, you have two or three children, and then you out, and then they're left there to survive and survive their children. And so out of hurt, out of, you know, frustration, they might say some things about the black male that permeates in that child's mind forever. You know, so we got work that we have to do. But the village can solve that concept, you know, because the village to me is not the physical buildings. The village is the people. It's the concepts that we have.
That's
the 42 laws of my eye. Those are laws that were established thousands of years ago, and they have worked for our people all of that time. And it seems like once we got away from those laws,
there you go,
we got in trouble. You know, that's my response. But, you know,
all right, we're
going
to have a whole show on the 42. Thank you, Brother George. Hey, great points.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I think the village starts in the mind. How about that? Village starts in the mind. It starts with you and how you think. I remember a time that, you know, when I was growing up, we always romanticized about it, but we got checked. The village was in place in the 70s, the late 60s and early 70s, where you couldn't do nothing. Somebody was checking in on you. If you was doing wrong, it got back to home real quick. All right, I'm going down to 4692.
Before you got home. Right.
And then home took care of you. So we kind of know, and, you know, a lot been going on with us since that time, but we can bring it back. We can restore it. 4692, and then I'm going down to 9282 after that. It's the Empowerment Network, Marvin Rowan and Stan Macklin. You're live.
Yes, I wanted to speak to the second prior caller as it relates to the question that she posed in terms of defending our villages. And, you know, at first when she asked the question, I would say that I took a step back, like a double look, like defend. Why do we have to defend? But I'm of the opinion, based on some of the things that I've been enriched by, that defense is lined up directly with what Brother Stan said. Knowledge of self, knowledge of who you are, whose you are, is the beginning of that defense. Because when you really understand self, and then you understand this concept of the village, We have an extension of ourselves in everyone else in our community. And if I'm going to, we know by Maslow's hierarchy of need that you have,
right.
you know, protection and provision,
mm-hmm.
and you move on up
mm-hmm.
the hierarchy. But if I have a knowledge of self, and that self tells me I'm connected to all of the others that
go.
Are in my village, then I have the ability to do just what it says and protect, to enlighten,
yep.
to do all of that. And, you know, in 2009,
yep.
I'm reminded that that was like the 100-year anniversary for, I want to say, the NAACP. And that's when we, you know, inaugurated the first black president. And so with that came a resurgence of something, right? Because if those of us on the call, and I know the previous brother knows, William Edward Burghardt Du Bois, you know, he was the co-founder of the NAACP. But there was a book that was published, you know, almost 100 years ago entitled The Gift of Black Folk. And I will tell you that my kids introduced me to this book. They are really into this knowledge of self as a means of fueling the movement of our communities finding unity, right? Because to be honest, it is only based on some of the dominant culture things that have caused us to be more of a diaspora. We can be neighbors and still be miles apart from each other because we're looking at the material things that we have or the level of education that we have. And all of those things are simply distractions from a community that don't want to see unity in our village. And I'm suggesting that the knowledge of self, when I open up this book, they republished The Gift of Black Folk at the 100-year anniversary of the NAACP and the installation of Barack Obama. But when I look at it talks about the black explorers, black labor, the soldiers, the emancipation of democracy, the reconstruction of freedom. We get down there to the gift of the spirit. I would encourage all of us, not just to read the book if we haven't read it, not just to gift it to our children or maybe some of our friends that we know would benefit by knowing that black folk has been a gift to these Americas, but I would gift it to some of my white brothers and sisters who need to open up their mind so they wouldn't have to race when they see what God is getting ready to do in our community. When we get elevated, they need to be happy because we are the fair and just people. We don't just try to look and bring people down. Bringing us up is not going to bring them down, but they need to be educated. So I encourage people, gift your white friends or your other friends about the gift of black folks so they can come into the knowledge of who we are and what we've done. Amen?
Amen.
You know, right. And when, they know. We just don't know. We got to get back to what we used to know. Because when they see that we know, they get behind us. They will. They will. Mm-hmm. They'll support us. They'll do it every time. And it ain't no tokenism.
Right.
It's because when America witnessed the world, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, what happened to George Floyd? Them people said, enough is enough. This is not right. And they came out in masses to the streets. I'm telling you, they were there. And so regardless of what goes on, when people make up their mind to make a difference, that's all it takes. Make up your mind.
I heard that. Man, the Empowerment Network is on fire. We're practicing unity today. Umoja is the first day of Kwanzaa. It's the Empowerment Network, Marv Verona, Stan Macklin, striving to maintain unity in the family and community. 9282, it's your turn.
Yes, sir, brother. I want to adjust this, sister.
All right, hold on. Who is that?
I want to put a challenge out here, but I'll put it out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's institutions like the NAAEA that we got to support. I want to put a challenge out there that we get on board with our resources to support this organization. This ain't no trickery. This is reality because it takes resources to make a difference. And if we're going to do these things that the listeners is talking about, we must unite together. So I want to put a challenge out there. I'm kicking this thing off with my pledge personally of a first $1,000.
All right.
Let's get on board.
All right. I got you with mine. Right. We're going to unify
right
economically,
there.
Put our money together. All right. Thank you, Stan,
that's
for that. 9282. We got $1,000 up,
yes, sir.
Top 2,000 with me. Go ahead,
yes,
brother.
Yes, sir. I want the sister's question. I, from what I understand of her question, she was giving us the benefit of the doubt and saying, okay, we're going to do all the things that we say we're going to do. We're going to get to know ourselves, understand who we are, create this village, this community, and
that's
be together as one. But what are we going to do? Because she was saying that's the righteousness in us. When we rediscover ourselves, we're going to rediscover our nature, the righteousness, the godliness that's in us. But what are we going to do? Her question is, I heard her question, what are we going to do when the unrighteous who don't want us to rebuild and establish? Because we're talking about not just building a community. We're talking about building heaven. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that peace, love, equality, justice for all. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about building a heaven. So what we're going to do when someone comes, that unrighteous people come, that evil people come, and have always come throughout the past and want to destroy our heaven, what are we going to do?
Like Wall Street.
How are we going to stop that? Yes, how are we going to stop that? What are we going to do? And I say just go back to what the scripture said, do what God did and kick the devil out of heaven.
What?
That's what we're going to have
all
to
right.
do. We're going to have to, you know, kick the devil out of heaven. You've got to be able to go back to what you said earlier too, brother, that facade, that fake, see the fake for what it is and say, no, get away from me. You got to get out of me. Get from around me.
The devil and his angels?
You got to put him in his place. Like I said several shows ago, yes, it's hard to build a successful economical power of anything if you don't have a military. That's how this world works. But our heaven, which is what we're trying to build, when we rediscover ourselves and who we are and our righteous nature, then the devil will reveal himself to us, and which he's doing now every day. We just don't recognize it, as Stan said. We just don't see and know who he is. But when we get to that point where we know who we are, truly understand that, then we see him.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as I said, just said, kick him out of heaven. And start with
all right.
Get the hell out of you first.
All right. Thank you, brother. I'm going to try to get
yes,
Brother
sir.
Warren in one more time before we get out of here. Thank you. Brother Warren, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, what you got?
I just want to say in relationship to the topic of defending what we develop, it is a very important, crucial question. And I want to just add to what was said is knowledge. Knowledge produces the defense. And what I mean by that is everything that you develop is connected to the fact that you have studied other people, you've studied yourself. You know how others will come at you, and you prepare for that. And so it's with knowledge that your adequate and appropriate defense is developed and devised through that. You're going to always have – there's never a point in time where we're not under some sort of attack. So the very fact that you're seeking knowledge in and of itself is a defense strategy, because you're trying to learn how to – neutralize the attack that you're under. And so with the proper application of knowledge, the knowledge of yourself, the knowledge of other people's intentionalities toward you will develop a solid defense because you would have prepared for what is supposed to be done to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Warren. I appreciate you so much. Let's continue to collaborate. All right, Stan, we got about 30 seconds left. Closing comments, and we're going to wrap this thing up. Thank you for calling today, callers. Stan, it's on you.
The village is a self-sustaining community. The resources are there from ABC to XYZ. They work together. It's called community. And community is based on unity, mojo. So let us do it, brothers and sisters. We can do it.
All right. Thank you, Stan.
great show today. Thank you, callers, for doing what you always do. You make the show, not me. It's a safe space for us to dialogue together. Strive for unity in your family and community and within yourself this week. I'll talk to you next week. Tell somebody about the show. And come on, let's put our minds and our money back.
No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly. When I'm laid to my rest.
Oh, we got something to fight for. We got something to work for. Unity.
And the world.
Peace and blessings.
Will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last hour.